This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you would like them, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and there's a weekly meditation there that you might find helpful as well. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I read those well-known verses in John chapter 3, starting at verse 16, which say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then I went to 1 John 5 and verse 13 and read, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." And those verses are extremely precious to me, and I hope that they are precious to you. They are very important verses. Now, what we were dealing with in these verses in particular was the fact that our relationship with God for eternity is based on faith in Christ, and in faith in Christ alone. And our assurance does not come through things that we have done, through our works of righteousness, but our assurance comes from the promises of Scripture. And of course, we mentioned verses like Isaiah 53 and 5. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That's a promise that we can take home with us and depend on and have assurance that we are forgiven with regard to our sins and our relationship with God. And according to John 3, 16, 17, and 18, that means we have eternal life. And eternal life is the life that comes from God and makes us fit to live with God throughout the endless ages of eternity. Now, I know that today is Father's Day. And as we think about Father's Day, we, of course, are thankful for everyone who has a father that they can be proud of and who nurtured them and who helped them. Now, some of us didn't have fathers like that. I'm not saying that I didn't, but some of us who are involved in listening to this program probably didn't have fathers like that. But we can all have a father, a spiritual father, who will nurture us. And so when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God." Those people have a spiritual father, and you can't have a better father than the father that we are reminded of when we pray that prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and so forth. And we who are saved have a good father. And so I tell people that there is no reason to complain about our fathers in this life, because if we had a good one, and I hope we did, we can spend time perhaps with them today. And if our fathers are gone, if they've passed on to be with the Lord as fathers who taught us the truth and believed in the Lord Jesus, we can be thankful for that. And we can rejoice in the fact that today we can honor our fathers. But at the same time, if we didn't have what we considered a good relationship with our Father, we can still have a good Father. It comes by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe in Him, not only are we not condemned, according to verse 18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so when the Lord was talking to the Jews who were rejecting him, he said their father, the one who really they were like, was the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning. So we spiritually either are born of God, born of the Spirit, not condemned, and we have a good father, or spiritually we live in our sins according to our first nature, and we have a father who wants to deceive us and who is determined to destroy all that glorifies the Lord Jesus. So today we want you to understand that our relationship with God is based on our confidence or faith in the Lord, and our assurance comes from the promises of Scripture. But yet there is a great problem, and we have mentioned this, because when we look at people, we often say they don't act like a Christian. And we end up putting an emphasis on the works that they do when it comes to judging whether they are a Christian or not. Now, I think that's fair. I think the Bible makes it clear, and we've mentioned this time after time in James, that there are those who say they have faith and have no works, and James says, "You show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." So what relationship do faith and works have? Down through the years, there have been churches that taught that you have to have faith and works to be saved, and they still teach that today. Now, I'm saying faith alone saves, but if you don't have works associated with that faith, then probably you don't have faith at all. And of course, this becomes a very difficult issue, because Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works," that is, works of righteousness, "lest any one should boast." And so I want you to understand today that if you're going to heaven, if you have a spiritual father that loves you, if you have been born again, then you have let Christ do all the work, and you have believed it, and the end result of that is that you have been then, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It has changed you. Last time when we dealt with this issue, 2 weeks ago, we mentioned that there was a slave who was bought off an auction block and sneered at the fellow that bought him because he thought the fellow was against slavery. But the fellow that bought him said, "I bought you to set you free." And when the slave heard that, he said, "Master, I'll serve you forever." Now, he was bought to be set free. He could go free. He could go and do what he wanted to do. But his attitude toward that man changed when he found out he had been set free. And we've been set free from the bondage of sin. And we need to remember that when we think about this relationship between faith and works. And one of the characteristics that we should have after we're saved is found in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, there's many that are found in the Sermon on the Mount, but one in particular that I want to deal with is the issue of meekness. We read that the blessed are the meek in Matthew 5 and verse 5, "For they shall inherit the earth." And humble and gentle are two words that are usually used to define the word meek. Humble means not to be proud or arrogant. So a meek person is not proud, self-assertive, or abusive in any way. The Lord says that these are the people who will inherit the earth. This does not say that warriors and those who fight for the truth will inherit the earth. It will be the meek. Many people are living their lives under the thou shalt nots of the Ten Commandments. I believe that didn't work for the Israelites, and it doesn't work for Christians. Law only breeds more law, and it doesn't deal with a change in heart necessary to live a devoted life for the Lord. Christians should be living their lives under the positive goals of the Sermon on the Mount. I believe the Sermon on the Mount is the constitution for the millennial kingdom and is the constitution for the heavenly kingdom that we enter when we are born again. We know that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord, and we are not saved by works of righteousness. If we were saved by works of righteousness, we would be boasting about our own worthiness. However, we also know that when we are born again, that leads to a new life. That new life should be characterized by meekness, among other things. The Lord was meek. Matthew 21 verse 5 describes the Lord as meek when he was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He was not forcing himself on the nation. He didn't come with an army. He didn't come with a lot of media people telling the world about how good he was and how bad his opponents were. He was available, he was righteous, but he was meek. Look where it got him. He ended up on a cross. Now, as I think about this issue, I realize that today we live in a society where meekness is not really a character that we teach our children. We teach our children to be self-assertive, to defend themselves, and to be proud. And when we think about the meekness of the Lord, the thing that bothers me is that we know in being meek, we will probably end up being rejected. People will take advantage of us. But the principles of God's kingdom, which we enter into when we are born again, are completely contrary to the principles of this world. We are to be meek and not proud and self-assertive. If you are like me and feel that you have some adjustments to make in this area, just thank the Lord you even have a desire to be Christ-like with regard to meekness. Most of us didn't even have the desire to be meek before we were saved, and at least most of us were saved have that desire now. And I think that we would be much better at spreading the gospel if, instead of making other people live the way they should live, we would live, we as Christians would live the way we should live. And one of those characteristics that should be seen in us is the characteristic that was seen in the Lord, meekness. And as I've said, meekness put the Lord on a cross. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The scribes and the Pharisees delivered him for envy. He came and manifested nothing but goodness, and it didn't make any difference. The minds of the religious leaders were made up. The Romans went along with it because, for political reasons, they wanted to keep peace, and the Lord was crucified. But by being crucified, he died. And except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth new life, and it brings forth fruit. And the Lord is bringing forth fruit, and we can be saved by grace through faith. And when we are saved by grace through faith in him, God becomes our spiritual father, which he wasn't before we were children of disobedience. And the grace of God is manifested to a world. It's so different from the way the world lives today that it gets their attention. The meek shall inherit the earth, and that's one of the characteristics that should be manifested in the life of one who has trusted in Christ. We're not saved by works. We're saved unto works, but there should be a change in our life if we are saved. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. Help us to be honest about our relationship with thee, because we know eternity is long and time is short, and we need to make sure that the Bible assures us that Christ died for our sins so that we can be changed, not saved by works, but saved unto good works. Now, our Heavenly Father, just bless this program as we commit it to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.